Good morning, everybody. This is Beat All Matters. Got Radio 97.3 FM. Seattle's news. Seattle's talk. We got Andrew over the boards over there. How you doing, Andrew?
Doing great, Pete. How are you?
Yeah, in the morning, man. We got our car. I actually got water. I'm trying to go healthy this morning. But I am awake. And I'm this side of the grave, which is always an important thing. Every time you can wake up this side of the dirt, that's a good thing, right?
That is a blessing.
We're going to talk about the opposite of life today. Well, maybe, no, it is about life, but we're going to talk about some of the things related to what do you do in any age when you're going through kind of an end-of-life situation. You guys have heard, if you've listened to my situation, my mom is doing okay, she's 84, but we have had one heck of an education on just getting through some of the issues with care and all the kinds of things like that. Now we're going to get educated by two individuals here in the studio talking about end-of-life planning and some of the laws in Washington State that I didn't even know about. I was talking to the lady here, and I think it's really good education for all of us. So you know what your options are, right? So I want to introduce my first guest here. It is Steve Byrne. He's with Final Roadmap. How you doing, Steve?
Wonderful, Pete. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then we got Sally McLaughlin. She's with End of Life Washington. Is it End of Life Washington? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. You're a nonprofit organization.
We're a nonprofit serving the entire
state. Good to have
state.
You on too, Sally. So got different perspectives here. Steve is going to go through more of kind of the checklist aspect, and Sally's going to she's going to really educate us on the death with dignity laws and things like that. So, Steve, let's start with you. And guys, before we get started, make sure this is something that, you know, it's like I told you, my dad with death and taxes, you can't escape this. So get a pencil and paper because I'm going to give them, give you their website so you can write them down. So we'll do that at the end of the segment and the next one as well. So, Steve, when we're talking about end of life, what are the things that we all have to consider, you know, when that, I guess now before it starts happening, so it doesn't become such a cluster while it is happening?
Well, one of the things is end of life isn't necessarily about dying. It's about being prepared, peace of mind for you and your family so that you don't leave problems.
Yeah.
You get the care that you want medically and you don't leave problems with the other myriad of things that could happen surrounding end of life.
So what is, so Steve, you know, because obviously there's like, okay, I died and I have all the death arrangements, but this is, you know, pre I died. What are some of the things that you need to consider in that end of life? And you had mentioned off here you have like a checklist or six steps you go through. So what is that all about?
Well, the most important, we think, is the medical. Get the care that you want. Make sure that at the end, when you can't speak for yourself, that you're getting the care that you wanted, not what somebody else is deciding for you.
Okay, as in as like a doctor or family member?
Well, you have someone that can speak for you.
Okay.
We try to teach people how to talk to whoever's going to be speaking for you so that they're comfortable talking to the doctor. They're comfortable making a decision that they're not going to regret for the rest of their life. Okay. I mean, the easy way to say it is, you know, pull the plug. And there's people that they actually have PTSD from wondering if they did the right thing.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
And they got the guilt of then their care.
Right, exactly. Oh. And they think for the rest of their life, did I do the right thing? And that's because they didn't communicate ahead of time. Our whole goal is to have people think about what they want for themselves, to consider, then to document it, write it down, okay, and then to communicate it, share it with your family.
So tell me, like, so I want to get into a little more detail on that, Steve. So, like, what are some of the things that they should consider, or tell us a story? You don't have to mention the name of the people, but or tell us a story of, like, what they had to go through to consider, and what are those things you're talking about?
Well, I think when Sally talks, we're going to talk more about the healthcare. So I'm going to talk about the other kinds of problems that could happen around end of life.
Sure.
That would be great. An example. So like for funeral planning, I'm from a neighborhood in Chicago, Southside Irish Catholic, and grew up with, you know, funerals every week, the wakes, you know, things would happen, you know, and people, grandmothers would die, and then there would be like, oh my gosh, we have to have a funeral, we have to have a wake. And it's like, you know, never thinking about planning for it. And the story I want to tell is that there's this family, seven, you know, kids, siblings. They probably fought like cats and dogs, you know, amongst themselves.
Yeah.
But if you're out with
Chicago people.
If you're out with a bar with them, you know, If you mess with one of them, you'd be messing with all seven of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Especially those Irish families.
Exactly. A close, close-knit family.
Yeah.
Well, their mom passed away young and suddenly, and two of the siblings, a brother and a sister, started arguing about what mom should wear in a casket.
Well, yeah, I never thought about that.
You know, and they both thought they were right. They were convinced they were right. It's a very emotional time. So instead of, thinking about it, they started fighting and arguing about it, and they said things that could never be taken back. So now, 20-some years later, that brother and sister still don't speak, and their kids don't speak.
Oh, no.
All because they didn't think about talking about what needs to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very emotional time.
You know what? I got to bring up a story, because this reminds me of some. And if you just joined us, too, this is Pete with Home Matters, Car Radio 973 FM, Seattle's News and Seattle's Talk. My dad was full-blooded Ukrainian, so as you know, when you get into some of the ethnic backgrounds like that, it wasn't a funeral, it was a wake. I remember we were from Detroit, Michigan. We go back. I mean, they didn't even speak English. It was a whole Ukrainian community, and death was a celebration. And you brought the casket in. I remember seeing the dead guy in there with the casket open, and they're partying for 3 days and drinking and dancing and all that kind of stuff. So it's a totally different thing, and if that was not expressed, it would have been totally wrong for the situation. So I get what you're saying. That's,
right. And all we talk about is talk about things ahead of time, because the more that your family knows, the more that you've shared it, it's a gift to them to know what you want so that they can do it instead of wondering about it.
So you talked about funeral. So what else do they have to consider besides just the funeral arrangements and things like that?
Notifications. Who to call right away. Who needs to be notified immediately. What about people that aren't family or close? Like, how do you stop the lawn service? How do you stop the milk deliveries? These things, instead of, families coming in the kitchen and looking through mom's phone book, this can be all done ahead of time so that it's easier for your family.
Okay. Probably what to do with a pet, too. I mean, I never.
Absolutely. That's all in there.
Cat. I mean,
we've got.
Do you have like a complete checklist that people go through, or what? How does that work?
Well, it's an online guide toolkit that once you go in there, you open it up and you can read each section one at a time.
Okay.
Because it's so comprehensive.
So can you, off the top of your head, can you tell us like what the sections are in the guide?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Medical.
Okay.
Legal and financial is the longest. That does the least amount of guiding and teaching, but it's a place where all your documents can be stored in one place. All your personal information can be in one place. You can put your passwords there so your family's not looking for it. You can find a way to stop LinkedIn or Facebook.
Okay.
So go
through this, because we got to cut for a commercial break here for a second. But give me the other sections, and then when we come back, we're going to go through those in a little bit more detail. So what are the other ones in that six-step checklist?
Actual death and dying.
Okay.
Funeral planning.
Okay.
Messages for loved ones and notifications.
Okay. That's good. So we're going to cover quite a bit of that. I'm going to ask Sally, I have a question for her as it relates to some of this. If you want to go get that roadmap from Final Roadmap, you're just going to go to finalroadmap.com. I'll give that to you again, but make sure you write that down, finalroadmap.com, and that will get you in touch with the guy that Steve is talking about. With that, I'm Pete.
Andrew on the boards.
Thanks, Andrew. This is Cutter Radio 97.3 FM, Seattle's News. And Seattle's Talk. All right, we are back. This is Pete with Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM. We're in the great state of Seattle here, and we're having a very educational discussion with both Steve Byrne of Final Roadmap, and Sally is going to be talking here, Sally McLaughlin of End of Life, End of Washington. She's going to talk a little bit about the Death of Dignity Law, which I don't know a lot about, so I'm really excited about hearing about that. Here's the thing, guys. This is something that, and again, this is not just, my mom and dad's old or my grandma's old. I mean, you have an elderly grandma, right, Andrew?
Yeah, I have one of four grandparents left, and this is something that my parents have gone through for years with their parents, and, they have to plan for it right now.
We're all kind of heading up towards the cliff, so to speak. I don't mean that in a bad way, but the thing is, we got to do that. But here's the other thing, too, guys. I mean, I don't want to be morbid or anything, but, if you think about cancer rates with men and women in this country, a lot of people die of cancer, too. And so now we have to be, it's not necessarily an old person's disease. So really, we should be thinking about this no matter what age we are. So let's go back, Steve. You had talked, I want to talk a little bit more about legal and financial. So what are some of the things in legal and financial that they need to consider? And then how do they get professional help? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we go through a whole checklist of things that you might need. There are so many things on there that you probably don't need, but everybody should have a will.
Yeah.
Everybody should have a medical.
Can I ask you a question about that? Because I'm asking because I don't know. What if somebody just writes down what they want on a piece of paper and they sign and date it? Is that a will?
I'm not sure. I'm not an attorney.
Yes, it is.
It is. Okay, so Sally knows. Okay, so that's legit. So you can honor, you can have your wishes, and if they just want to write it out, that's good enough. Right?
But,
I mean, I know that's not probably the smartest thing to do, but you could do that. Okay.
And where is that?
Yeah.
Who has it? You know, is it, you know.
It's out the back of a matchbook.
Right. Could, you know, one of the other siblings say, oh, no, that's not true. Dad didn't tell me that. So what we want is to have people to have a true will. And what Final Roadmap does is allows you to store it securely online and share it with your loved ones when they need to see it.
Okay.
So we're a,
what do you do for more complex things where people have to get into estate planning and things like that to make sure that they have everything, you know, put where it should be with the different kids?
Well, what we do is we just teach people what to think about so that, you know, we look at our estate plan guide and then, okay, we need this, we need this, we need this. And then we recommend that they find an estate attorney, you know, that's qualified in their state to do it.
Okay.
We teach people what to think about for themselves, what they want, and then allow them to put a place where it could be stored securely, you know, so that it's accessible.
Well, give me an example. Like, what in your mind, Steve, what does stored securely mean?
Well, it's our toolkit. You know, we built this with security in mind. That's where our biggest expense is.
Okay.
And we work with a company called AmericanEagle.com. They're out of the Chicago area, and they have the same security as banks. They have, you know, they actually hosted the.
Are these like secure boxes? Are you talking about, or what? Or is it a secure location where they're storing this stuff?
They're storing it at a secure location on site, and it's only Final Roadmap's information on there. Plus, everything besides being secured securely, it's encrypted.
So that's good, and that gives them probably one of the most complex things they have to get through, especially with some of the people that have, you know, complex situations. They got to sort all that out. Let's go over to medical now.
First of all, I want to say in the legal and financial, it would be great to have a medical power of attorney established.
Okay. That's part of legal.
Yes. So our medical section, you know, most medical power of attorneys have three or four questions. Who's going to be the one speaking?
Yeah.
The most important thing. That's what you really need. And to pick the right person to do that for you. One who is confident enough to speak to a doctor. One who is confident enough to know your wishes, what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And one who's strong enough that when other people will say, oh, no, that's what she wanted. Yes, it is, because we have it here in writing and it's clear.
Yeah. You know what? You actually bring up a really good point here, and this is one I want to just kind of talk about for a sec. We're really lucky in my family. Big shout out to my sister, Shelly. She's a medical doctor. But not everybody has medical doctors in their family. And some of these situations with end of life and when you have the power of attorney, medical power of attorney, it's a judgment call. So when you just said you have to pick somebody that's confident enough to make those decisions, that's something you really need to think about. And the person who's choosing to do that has to be okay with making that judgment call, not knowing 100% if that's the right thing to do and not, you know, having the guilt and things like that.
And that's what Final Roadmap does, too, is we teach you how to talk to the person who's going to be speaking for you.
Okay.
We teach them the things to consider. What's the 3 to 5 things that make life worth living for them? What do they really want? And then the more that they know, the easier it is for them to speak for that person. Okay.
And that's kind of an education thing. And that's, Sally, that's where I want to kind of get you into the conversation here. Because in your organization, you mentioned off air, you have the death with dignity law. Could you start by explaining what that is, please?
Well, the death with dignity law, we have had it in Washington State for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Passed in 2008. And so we are celebrating 10 years of people's right to choose at end of life to take death hastening medication should they qualify for that.
And that's legal now.
That is legal in Washington State. We are the second state in the nation to have it.
Do you have to go through, like, how do you qualify for that? Or what's the, how do you get, that seems like that's a pretty complex thing to do.
It is a very complex thing to do, and that's the reason End of Life Washington exists, is okay. to steward the law throughout Washington
State. Were you guys instrumental in getting that passed?
Yes, we were. Yes,
wow,
we were.
Good for you.
And End of Life Washington is a new name for a very old organization.
Yeah.
In the 80s, we were the Hemlock Society, yeah. and then we were Compassion in Dying, and then we were Compassion in Choices, and now we're End of Life. So you asked about qualifying for the law.
Yeah.
In order to use Death with Dignity in Washington State, you must be 18 years or older. You need to be a resident of Washington State. You need to be deemed terminal within 6 months by two physicians. You have to be deemed contemporarily competent. This does not mean you can't have a record of depression or anxiety that was treated, but it means that in the moment that you're making this decision, you are deemed capable of making an informed decision. So if you have Alzheimer's or dementia, you can't use the law.
We got to cut for a break here, but when we come back, I want to ask you about that, because that is a really sticky situation. So we're gonna spend some time on that one.
All right.
If you want to find out more about what Sally's organization does and can do for you and your family, End of Life Washington, you just want to go to End of Life WA. So it's endoflifewa.org. They're a nonprofit organization, right?
Right. Correct?
Okay. With that, I'm Pete. This is Home Matters, Car Radio 973 FM, Seattle's News. And Seattle's Talk. All right, we're back. This is Pete with Home Matters. So, Andrew, are you learning some things here?
Yeah, I'm learning a ton because, you know, even my younger friends, I've had one that passed away suddenly in a car wreck, another that got cancer, was terminal, and, you know, I'm just thinking about this for my wife. And
you're a millennial guy, right, aren't you?
Yeah, right around that age, about 35.
So you're a younger man. But you see, this is not an older person's problem, or I shouldn't say problem, but not an older person's issue. It's the whole spectrum.
Yeah, I mean, if something was to happen to me, I would want my wife to know, especially if
don't
it's
you
sudden.
Have a kid?
Yeah, yeah,
you have a child
just turning two here.
Yeah, so see, that's important. This is why it's good. You know, you're at home, you again here. It gets you thinking about some of this stuff. It's like, you know, maybe I should be doing something about that. So you can talk to, you know, Sal and Steve afterwards. Check out his website too.
Definitely,
I'm going to do that. I think that's really cool.
Thanks. I'm going to interrupt 1 second because you brought up such an important part. The sooner you do it, the better off you are.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to change it as you, you know, get older and as life changes and things change for you. But the sooner the better, because you could get hit by a bus. You know, there can be a car accident.
Yeah.
You know, young people can have heart attacks or strokes. And it's like, then you put all the burden on your loved ones, and it's bad enough that they're worried about you. But then to know what to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, medical power of attorney as soon, you know, when you're
18 or older.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, I think that, well, you brought that up at 18. I'm like, God, that's kind of young. But now I'm getting it.
We have to remember the three cases that made it to the Supreme Court were three women under the age of 30 who, if they had had a power of attorney for health care, would not have had the situation. Terry Schiavo being the latest one.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
In that case. Okay, I want to go back though, Sally, thank you, Andrew, for that, because I'm glad for all you guys that are like Andrew out there younger, maybe have kids, young kids, what you just said is really important. You know, I'm an older guy. I mean, I'm not super old, but my kids are grown. But I'm doing the same thing because I didn't know you guys existed, so I'm going to be doing this myself personally, guys, to make sure we get all this taken care of. One thing though, Sally, you brought up that really caught my mind, and that is, you said, well, you can go ahead and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I heard it was, is you can, as long as you have your mental faculties, you can make those decisions. But that's kind of a big gray area of what mental faculties are. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Certainly. Well, one of the aspects of the law is if you are deemed, if someone is concerned about your mental competency, your ability to make an informed decision in the moment.
Okay.
Then you have to undergo, if one or both of the doctors that are seeing you are concerned about your mental capacity, then you would undergo a competency exam by a psychiatrist or psychologist. And only about 5% of the people who apply for Death with Dignity end up taking that exam. Okay. So it's not a large number.
That's got to like take a long time, though, doesn't it?
Well, no, it's a visit to a psychologist or a psychiatrist.
Okay.
You know, and you're right. Sometimes medications can can mask someone's competency.
Or a UTI. We talked about that.
Exactly. Exactly. And so all those things need to be looked into. And that's why you're seeing two independent physicians as well.
Okay, got it.
And then the final thing for a death with dignity is you have to be able to self-administer the medication.
Yeah. Steve, I got to ask you a question because maybe I'm wrong, but something just popped in my head. So Sally just said, so you have to have the mental faculties and be deemed mentally capable to make this. What if when they go through your checklist and they say, okay, I want to make my own decisions for, you know, resuscitation or not resuscitation, and then they don't have their mental faculties anymore. How do you guide a person through something like that?
Well, we're not a panacea where everything's going to happen exactly the way you want.
Yeah.
But the more people that know what you want, the more that you've documented it, the more that you communicated it, the better chance it's going to happen.
Okay.
So, you know, at Final Roadmap, our goal is to have everybody get the care that they want at end of life, whether it's having everything done or, you know, death with dignity, if that's what you want.
Yeah.
We're not saying one's right, one's wrong. We're saying get the care you want. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what Sally's saying, too.
Sally, help me understand, too, because one of the things, my grandmother actually took advantage of this, and I'm a big believer in it. She went into a hospice.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about, because I don't know, me personally, I'm like my dad, man. If I had to go into a nursing home or sit in the hospital, I mean, I see my mom in a skilled nursing facility, I'm like, I don't know, she's not like bouncing off the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone is in a terminal state or they know that, okay, this is the end of life and we're not coming back, how does hospice play into that? When should you utilize those services and why?
So hospice is pivotal at end of life. And it's fascinating to know that a patient with a certain disease who's not in hospice and another patient with the exact same disease in hospice statistically lives longer. Ironically, hospice extends life because of the myriad of services that they give you. Now, hospice, we have to remember, is a philosophy rather than a place. It can be a place. There are hospice houses, but it's a philosophy.
So I can do hospice at home.
Absolutely. The majority of people do hospice at home.
And
hospice is dedicated to making today the very best day it can be. So they're going to regulate your pain. They are going to give you complimentary services. They're going to do everything they can. The sad truth is most people go to hospice too late, and they do it for a real obvious reason, because they have to stop curative treatment in order to qualify for hospice.
What does that mean?
You cannot be taking chemotherapy, dialysis. You have to have embraced the fact that you are dying. So you can't be taking medicine that might cure you.
Okay, I did not know that. So you have to basically stop treatment in order to go into hospice.
That's right, and that is why most people don't get into hospice. Your average hospice stay is 18 days when you have 6 months that you can have hospice. So
really?
It's highly underutilized for the extent of a person's disease.
Okay. Did you have a comment?
I did. It's not stopping treatment. You said it's stopping treatment.
Oh.
It's stopping curative treatment.
Curative treatment.
So you still get the...
Yeah, but I got to ask a question. Okay, so you bring up a good point. You just said earlier to me, I'm a little confused here. You said hospice can actually extend your life, but if I'm stopping curative treatment, would that accelerate my death?
No, because you take care of your pain and you get your comfort level high, you relax and you do better.
Really?
It extends life.
Could you imagine being in that ICU room hooked up to all those machines and things?
That's what
I
want to
live.
That's the point. That's it's in
right.
my mind. I absolutely do not want
So to. Once you're in hospice, you've reached that point where like, hey, okay, I'm human, I'm going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're more relaxed, you're able to communicate with your family, you're able to do the things that you can do comfortably.
Yeah.
And that's why they live longer.
Okay, I'm going to ask, so maybe Sally, you can answer this question. Because this is, to get to that point, there is I've watched my mom go through this, I watched my dad go through it too, and I'm sure you guys have had parents that pass away. There's that psychological, you know, it's the seven stages, right? You go through towards you finally have acceptance. Does hospice have, like, both for the individual going through that and the family, the psychological or the therapy aspects?
Yes, they do. And they usually approach that through their chaplaincy program. But they have non-denominational chaplains who are steeped in end-of-life psychology. And so that's another one of the many services that they provide.
Okay. That's really,
which
really
is
important.
Very
how
important.
To deal with that. Because there's a lot of dynamics going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know, do you guys, have you had parents that passed away?
My mom died, yeah.
I'm lucky enough to have both my parents alive.
Yeah, you're lucky. I mean, it's just, you know, because I tell my girlfriend, her parents are getting up there, and it's like, you know, you just don't know until you actually, and I'm not saying you're not good at what you do. I'm sure you are, Steve. But when you go through that real life, then you like, you know, and there isn't a day. You haven't had a parent pass away yet?
No, technically not yet.
It's not, you know, it's one of those things, so I can relate every day. It's like, man, I miss my dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
my wife,
you can't,
both of her parents have passed
okay,
away.
Okay, so you know.
Yep.
Yeah, it is hard. And it's something we all have to go through, but having the therapy programs is really, really mm-hmm. good because it helps the people, you know, go through that process.
And, of course, everyone affiliated with hospice is an end-of-life professional.
Yeah.
And so they may not be a psychologist, psychiatrist, but they certainly know how to talk about
Yeah, and it's really issues. Important. Like Andrew, you said, you know, when your younger friends passed away. And that's even worse because then when you have, mm-hmm. like you said, like somebody gets hit by a car, a sudden death, it's like, oh, you know, then you have a tragedy. It's not like... Because I know my mom's getting older and she's not going to be around forever. You know, in your mind, you know, okay, you got to get prepared. But when you have a tragedy, that's even harder.
Yeah.
I could see where you could have some PTSD symptoms and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got, about another minute or so?
Yeah, we should probably wrap this one up.
Wrap it up. Okay. So, guys, again, I'd like to have you back because there's so much to talk about this. You have more on your checklist. But I do want to tell you guys, go to finalroadmap.com. I'm going to go there. Check out Steve Burns' program over there where you get the checklist. You can work through all of that. And then as it relates to some of the hospice care, some of the death with dignity laws, you want to check out Sally's organization, endoflifewa.org. Sally was...
Yeah. You also want to check us out for the fact that we have very robust and complete advanced directives for health care okay. and advanced directives for mental health
so
and
more
Alzheimer's.
Information. Okay, great.
And it's all free to the public.
Okay.
And
so endoflifewa.org. If you have a specific question, you can call Sally's office at 206-256-1636. With that, I'm Pete. This is Home Matters, Car Radio 973 FM, Seattle's News and Seattle's Talk. Okay, we're back. This is Pete with Home Matters. Radio 97.3 FM. We're having a great discussion in our final segment here with Steve Byrne of Final Roadmap. He has a really good checklist and things like that that you can really help. And we're going to talk more about the other six steps he has. But just go up to finalroadmap.com and, you know, take care of all this stuff now. And you know, we talked in the previous segment, doesn't matter what age you are. You know, Andrew brought up a really good story about his friend. Also, for any things related to hospice, end-of-life situations, you said you have some documentation. Can you say what that was?
Yeah, so on our website, we have a document library, and in it we have an advanced directive for healthcare, and that's where it's a melding of a living will, which says all the things you do, and even more importantly, don't want at end-of-life, what Stephen's been talking about.
Okay.
And then it's the assignment of a durable power of attorney for healthcare, that person who will speak for you in the event that you cannot speak for yourself.
So is this like kind of an outline of what to do? Is that
it's very much an outline of what to do. Okay. It's a legal document. It's very robust. Elder law attorneys throughout the state tell me ours is the only one they use because it's so complete.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good
we
for
also
you.
Were the first in the nation to develop a healthcare advanced directive for mental health and Alzheimer's. And so that's an important document that we have. And
sounds like Washington State's really progressive.
We are.
You say that with a smile. She can't see it, but she's really.
Yeah,
I know. Good. I'm glad. I can tell you're passionate about what you do.
Well, we we've been a leader in this realm. In fact, we were ahead of Oregon back in the day, and Dr. Kevorkian came along in 91 and sunk our ship for a while. But
There's that Kevorkian word.
Yeah, no, he's.
I wasn't going to bring that up. You did. No, but that's good. I'm glad. The education for both of you is so, so important because, there's a lot of things I'm learning here that really kind of erase my awareness. Like, yeah, I probably should do more than I've done, you know, so far. So you want to go over to check out all of those services and information. It's at endoflifewa.org. If you got a specific question, you can call Sally's office at 206-256-1636. All right, so Steve, let's go back. And so we went through legal and financial, went through medical. What is the next step in your checklist? What you got to consider?
Visitation services remains. So, you know, how you want your own funeral.
Okay.
I mean, the more, and this is throughout the whole final roadmap, the more that you give instructions that you give your family, the easier it is for them. So tell them, do you want to be cremated? Tell them where you want to be buried.
Yeah.
You know, tell them, you know, who you'd like speaking. Tell them, I do not want open microphone at my wake.
Yeah. Or open casket.
Yeah, exactly. So all those things that you can make clear ahead of time. And the more that you think about it, the more that you consider, the more you go through our checklist, the more you'll say, oh, I'd like this, or no, I wouldn't like this. Yeah.
Be sure to tell people what you want to be wearing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Tell them what you want to be wearing.
You don't have the family fight.
Well, the other is, you know, if you want to be cremated, where do you want the ashes?
You know, it's a, you bring up a really good point. I can just speak from my own experience. But my father, a lifelong Catholic, right? So he was like, do not cremate me. Mm-hmm. I want to be buried. And I want to be buried in the Catholic cemetery in Olympia. And he was very, and he put it in his document. And that was great. Because then I knew, because, I mean, think about that, right? I mean, from his perspective, if I would have cremated him, I'm sure he'd be not rolling in his grave, but he'd be like, he'd be back like, why did you do that? But, you know, you have to honor people's religious beliefs and wishes and, you know, things like that. So totally get it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So with the cremation, we say, you know, if you're going to tell somebody to spread the ashes illegally, tell them not to get caught. For example, Wrigley Field, you know, 2 years ago when they finally won the World Series, I kept thinking, boy, how many people walked in there with that little vial of ashes that Dad's been dreaming about for 60, 70 years and throwing them over the wall into the, you know, sprinkling the infield with the ashes?
Yeah.
I bet there were hundreds.
Wow. Yeah, I never thought about it that way.
Oh, but I mean,
I've always heard about they do the ashes and the ash blows back up into your face and things like that. It's like that.
But anyway, I mean, the more that you instruct, the better off your family is. Yeah.
No, that's
then they feel like they're honoring.
Yeah.
Instead of wondering what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And the point you made earlier, too, Steve, about is it going to be a funeral or is it going to be a wake? And for all you guys that know what wakes are, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's some families, that's a big deal.
It is. But, you know.
I personally want to have a wake. I want people to drink and party. Have a good time.
You know,
that's gone. Good riddance.
We have a whole section in there, food for thought. And one of the things that we say is, hey, I don't want a funeral. I don't want a wake. I want a party.
Yeah.
For me. Where you can all raise a glass and toast me.
Yeah.
If you think it's tacky, stay home.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who, when they approach their death with dignity moment, have big parties and very, very elaborate ceremonies.
Yeah.
They'll have their
entire neighborhood. Can that be part of their hospice planning and program? Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes, it can be part of their hospice program
as well. That's super cool. That's neat. Mm-hmm. I like that. Awesome. Okay, so we got now, you mentioned, though, visitation, but you didn't talk about that very much. You talked about the funeral aspect, so what is visitation?
Well, visitation is like if you want a wake or, you know, if a different religions have different types of visitations, you know, make sure that you get what you want.
So it's not the, I don't like that family member, so they can't come.
No.
Okay.
There's not a checklist of RSVP only.
Who you could bar.
Yeah. I mean, if you
that
want.
That happens, too, though.
If you want to hire a bouncer for your visitation, I'm sure you could. But I mean,
I don't want Aunt Sally over here. She's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. You know, also, you know, you talk about money around, you know, funerals too.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be the family that walks into the funeral home and the director says, oh, you want the best for your mom, don't you? Mm-hmm. Well, of course you do. But that doesn't mean that you have to spend all this money on elaborate casket and things if your mom didn't want that.
Yeah. You know, that brings up a good point. Because maybe, like, I think, you know, just having a moderate, if you're going to do, like, moderate funeral, and then the rest of the money can go to charity or something.
You know? That's exactly what you could say in your final roadmap. This is what I want.
Yeah.
That's all that we say. We want people to get what they want at end of life. We want to prevent problems.
Got it.
For their families.
Got it. Okay. So what's after that, what's the next step?
Messages for loved ones. You know, you can actually write your own obituary. You can leave letters, you can leave video, you can leave pictures for loved ones right in your final roadmap, and then they can be released after you pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Notifications, we talked about that a bit. The actual physical death, that's, you know, I haven't even filled my physical death out yet because if I die right now, it would be sudden. Mm-hmm. If I got diagnosed with something, then I would consider.
What does that mean to you, physical death?
Well, that means where you'd like to die, how you'd like to die, who you'd like in the room with you. Would you like your dog in there with you? Would you like music playing? Would you like the window open? Would you like certain scents, a cigar going,
yeah,
or whatever? But those things that will make you feel good and make you feel peaceful, and also allow your family to do what you want instead of wondering what you want or standing, yeah, around the kitchen twiddling their thumbs. Instead, your family come together and say, this is what she wants. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's, yeah, do that. Let's make it as peaceful and as happy for her as possible.
Got it.
We're all going to die.
I got one last question for you, Sally.
I don't want a cigar.
Well, that wasn't the question, but I get it. Is there anything in the death with dignity law that you can't do?
That you cannot do?
Cannot do.
Yes, you cannot inject medication. You have to take the legal medication prescribed by a doctor. Correct. And someone else cannot administer it for you. You, okay, must administer it yourself.
Okay,
you must be able to swallow the medication yourself.
Okay, so that's really important. Okay, as always, we've run out of time, but man, oh man, we've learned a lot. Steve, thanks for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Learned a ton. Want to check Steve out and his site, go to finalroadmap.com. All of the checklist, everything's there. I'm going to check that out. And then Sally McLaughlin from endoflifewa.org. Thank you for all the information on the laws. I didn't know that, so appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Well, I'm happy to be here and, yeah, and share the information that,
yeah,
is
we're
going to
have you guys come back again. I think this is something you got to, you know, you really have to pay attention to. You can go to endoflifewa.org. They have the documentation there, plus they have, you know, talk about the death with dignity laws and things like that. If you have a specific question, you give Sally's office a call at 206-256-1636. With that, I'm Pete.
And you're on the boards.
This is Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM, Seattle's News and Seattle's Talk.